You're listening to Social Work Insider, the go-to podcast for social workers in all stages. Each episode, you're going to learn key career insights and tips to prepare you for hiring success. From building confidence to personal branding, I'm your host, Harleni Vasquez, a first-gen Latina, licensed social worker turned social work career coach, and I'm on a mission, y'all, to uplift and elevate the social work profession. I was able to build my own roadmap to success within my own social work career, and I'm here to provide you all with the concrete tools and knowledge needed to create the success you desire utilizing your social work degree. Enjoy. Welcome back, my fellow social workers, to another episode here on Social Work Insider. And it is graduation season. It is the season of change. So I'm so excited for you all to get into a juicy episode, because today we're going to be talking all about overcoming and preventing burnout, you know, really being able to implement mindfulness techniques and best practices to, you know, really ground yourself as you are going to get ready to enter or navigate the workforce. And today we have the amazing Jelan Agnew, who's an LCSW and the CEO and founder of Knowledge of Self, which teaches organizations and individuals mindfulness techniques to overcome burnout. Jelan, how are you? I'm so excited to have you here today.
I am doing well. How's everybody doing? I'm glad to be here.
Yes, yes. And this is a topic that really, really hits home to me. As you all know, I started working in the field of social services, in social services, working in foster care in the shelter system, and burnout was something that, you know, couldn't be prevented, right, due to the lack of support. But before we go into talking about strategies and best practices, I would love to hear a little bit more about you and your journey and how Knowledge of Self came about.
Okay, so Knowledge of Self started out as a private practice, and I was doing individual, family, and group therapy. In 2020, you know, it had got real. It was real everywhere. And I experienced my own version of burnout. I was, you know, the calls were coming in. I actually had to take myself off of psychology today. Like, that's how bad it got. Calls were coming in, and I was taking everybody, because it's one of my values to be helpful in my community. So I took everybody. I'm seeing like 8 people a day. I'm working weekends, and it really just, my mental health was declining. I was struggling with alcohol, and it really became this thing to where I had a rock bottom. I had a crash. And that crash landed me in the ICU. And when I left the ICU, I decided that I would have to figure out a way to still maintain my value of serving my community, but also making sure my own mental health and health was a part of that plan. I think as social workers, I've been in the social work game probably 19 years. I've been a therapist for 11 or 12. And I think in the therapy game, we get into it and we want to help everybody else, right? We want to make sure everybody else is good. We don't do a good job. I love us. If I ever say I love us, I'm about to say something after that's going to hurt some feelings. Mm-hmm. I love us, but we don't do a good job of taking care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't do a good job of doing the things that we're teaching. And that's what I noticed. I was teaching healing, but I was neglecting my own. So my work around mindfulness and burnout, it really came from my own kind of rock bottom and my own burnout, where I had to figure out what I can do differently in my own life.
No, absolutely. And thank you for sharing that. And isn't it crazy sometimes, you know, when life hits us and then we have that wake up call, right? Like you mentioned that, you know, your burnout got so bad that you ended up in the ICU. I think for me, you know, unfortunately, I didn't have to go to the ICU, but for me, it was getting severe panic attacks and literally being on the train and like sweating and being like about to like faint. And I'm like, oh my God, like what's wrong with me? Like, oh my God, my health is compromised. And you know, I know not everyone's going to get symptoms and all that stuff. And I know we'll get into the nitty gritty shortly. But as you know, there's just so much stigma in general for our profession that, oh, yeah, if you're a social worker, you're going to get burned out. Like that's just part of the job. And I know just like myself, right, and yourself, like we're very passionate to just change the game and change the profession, because it doesn't have to be the norm. Like you shouldn't have to be in a job and be like, this is as good as it's going to get. And it's up to us to be able to change that narrative for generations to come within the social work profession, because enough is enough. Like, we've definitely had too much to have to overcome, a lot of barriers already. And like you mentioned, it really starts with being able to take care of yourself, which is absolutely hard. So what would you say to anyone who's listening, whether they're about to graduate or whether they are, you know, a seasoned social worker and they're like in this verge of being burned out, like what would you say to them?
So as a part of my process, I realized that burnout is a more of a value issue than it is behavior. I think we think that if we do some self-care and we rest, that it will combat burnout, and it will not. I have to say that, because we have values that make us feel guilty when we do rest. So overcoming burnout first is taking a step back and looking at your values around productivity. Now, I have this whole spiel I go into, but in our American school system, we learn that productivity equals our worth, right? So when we're in school, we get grades, and that tells people how worthy we are. As we become adults, that the grades, it turns into money. Money tells people how worthy we are. So we have this productivity mindset going in our minds. And if you work in social work, you probably hear the word productivity about 10 times a day.
Oh my God, yes. Don't get me started on metrics.
Yes. So if you have productivity connected to your worth subconsciously, then you will always be burned out, because there's always more productive and there's always more work you can do. So what I learned throughout my own process is, step one is deciding that I'm worthy independent of what I produce. That's a huge, huge shift. And in this work, I've done workshops and trainings and speaking about this. That's the first step to overcoming burnout, is deciding that you're worthy inherently because you're human, and what you produce is separate from that. So step one is taking a step back and deciding that you're worthy, and also deciding that yes, you will be productive, but that doesn't determine your worth, and it doesn't determine like your status in society. And that's a really, really hard shift to make.
Oh my God, that is freaking powerful, because it's so true. Like, we don't really take the moment of day to really recognize, like, what do I want, right? Like, what are the things that really build me up or fill my cup? And you should never tie your value to an employer, right? Because as we know, we're easily replaceable. And even going back to the sense of productivity, like for me with my clients, I often hear, oh, I feel guilty for leaving, or I feel guilty for looking for a new job, or I feel guilty for asking for a raise and all that stuff. And like you said, we are, you know, subconsciously having those thoughts, you know, on an everyday today about, oh, if I do this, then they're going to view me like as a quote unquote troublemaker, or someone who, you know, wants to get out or is not happy, right? And, you know, those thoughts are real. And I think that even starting with incorporating those habits also can be very hard, especially if someone's routine is absolutely chaos. So like, what would you say to someone who, you know, to be able to incorporate those mindfulness techniques and best practices, and maybe they have, you know, they work in social services and they have an unpredictable schedule. Like, what would you say to them?
Another thing I tell people when trying to overcome burnout is you have to have a self outside of your work self. Mm-hmm. So outside of work, a lot of people, like organizations, they will hire me to talk about burnout, and they think I'm going to come in and tell their employees to be more productive. And that's never the conversation. My question to you, if you're listening to this, is what do you have outside of work? What do you do outside of work? And not just what do you do to feed yourself? Like, what do you do for fun outside of work? What kind of practices do you have? What I notice is that if we live and work in chaotic environments, we are never present in the moment. One of the things that our school system does with this productivity, and when I say productivity, I want everybody to think about the mouse in that, you know what I mean? The mouse in
the hamster in the wheel.
Yes, the hamster in the wheel. I want us to visualize the hamster in the wheel. That's what our school teaches us. So we have this inherent value of that. So we have to have things outside of that wheel that we actually like to do, that we enjoy doing. And what that wheel does is it separates our mind-body connection. Being in that wheel all the time separates that. So when I say mindfulness can help us overcome burnout, mindfulness reconnects your mind and body, and it helps you get back into your body. One thing about being in chaos, you are distracted all the time. One thing about being in chaos, you haven't lived in your body in a long time. So mindfulness requires you to take a step back and take a moment to drop back down into your body. And how I know this works is when I do this work with people, they'll say, my back been hurting for a month and I didn't even realize it until I took a step and took a mindfulness break and realized that I was in pain. We push past our threshold of pain so often that if we were to take a step back and be mindful, we'd notice all of these things going on. And unfortunately for us with burnout, we don't notice until, you know, we're having panic attacks on the train or until we're in the ICU. But there have been things in your body this whole time telling you that it was a lot. So what we do outside of work is important.
Absolutely. And, you know, hearing you say all of this is like taking me back through memory lane. And even for me, like, y'all, as I think I've said in previous episodes, sitting in silence is absolutely hard. Sitting with your thoughts is freaking scary, especially if you're like, I'm trying to, like, you know, suppress things that I just don't want it to come up for me right now. And yep. I think that, you know, I often share in, you know, previous seasons, like for me and my journey was that once I started Your Evolved Mind back in 2019 and really got involved in so many things, the way that I realized that I needed to be able to set boundaries and start incorporating those, you know, mindfulness techniques, because I would literally have moments where I would just cry and I would just be there like, what the heck is wrong with me? Like, I'm just crying out of nowhere. And that was me neglecting my needs. And obviously this also goes back to inner childhood work. I know I've been sharing that too, right? The healing journey still continues. But for me, it took the moment of really recognizing myself and my mental health, like I'm not okay and I need to take care of myself. And obviously this is just my story, my journey. It looks different for everyone. Like I mentioned that early on in my career was burnout, wasn't taking care of myself, but then I was always the person that needed to chase the next best thing because I was tying myself worth to a title. I was tying myself worth to an employer. And yes, even though I did do things on the side, obviously starting my business, you know, Your Evolved Mind. But even in that part, I was in a different mindset, right? Because I still was operating from that employee mindset that I needed to, you know, do the next thing or add more projects to make myself, you know, seem this, you know, bigger thing. When in reality, I just needed to sit with my thoughts in silence. And now my peace is my peace. And then there's no one going to bring that light down. And I love sitting in silence. I'm just like, ooh, I mean, I'm an extrovert, but I'm just like, ooh, I really like these moments where I'm just quiet in my, you know, my morning routine, whatever you want to call it. And yes, it was hard to get there because again, sometimes I'm human. I'll sit in silence and I'll start thinking about 10 million things, but it's really about, for me, those breathing techniques and meditation and obviously therapy helps and all those things. I mean, what do you say? Can you relate?
Oh yeah. And I love what you're saying because I actually created something called the Mindful Burnout Recovery Roadmap. And step one is boundaries. You talked about your boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things we have to do with burnout is we have to set boundaries. Social workers, I love us, but we don't set good boundaries because we want to help everyone. So step one is the boundaries. And then you said you had that almost an addiction to the achievement. Step two in my program is achievement addiction.
That is real. I'm a first gen. So that's even more.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, you know, women of color, we have that drive to keep going. So the addiction to the achievements, which goes into that work being tied to that productivity, that is something else that we have to look at. But I feel like I also have to say this, when I talk about mindfulness, I did a mindfulness workshop at the National Association of Black Social Workers in Chicago last month. And somebody said to me, well, what if sitting in silence is traumatic for the body? What if mindfulness doesn't work? Mindfulness means being present in the moment and doing one thing at a time. I think we have to understand what mindfulness actually means before we can decide it doesn't work for us. Yes. Mindfulness means doing one thing at a time and being present in the moment. My favorite thing to do is show people where they already have a mindfulness practice. Mm-hmm. So I did a conference and this lady said, well, I'm not like these people. I don't have one. I said, well, what do you like to do? What do you do when you lose time and you get into it and you love it and you don't even care about the outcome because it's all you're thinking about? She says, I bake. Hello. Mm-hmm. That is a mindfulness practice. Anything you do where you're focused on that thing and you're participating with one mind, that's what you're focusing on. It's a mindfulness practice. So I love to show people where they already exist so they can expand from there. Because one thing I know, you ever been driving home from work and you don't remember how you got home? Yes. We're not present. We are never present. All I'm asking with mindfulness is to be present and notice. And one thing that happens when you get into mindfulness, and you do one thing at a time, you start to notice the things that have already existed outside of you. I did a workshop in Mass last month, and a woman said, I just went to the bathroom and I noticed this picture there. I've been going to that bathroom for months. Is this mindfulness? I'm like, yes, mindfulness doesn't ask you to add anything. Mm-hmm. It asks you to notice what's already there. So if you can have things outside of work that you love, that you participate in, that you put your whole self into, that's what's going to help you be resilient against burnout. Because what happens in our field is our jobs take so much over our lives. We don't have a sense of self anymore.
Oh my God. Yes. And I love that, you know, one thing method too, because I forgot to mention, I throw myself dance parties from time to time. I love dancing. I don't want to say the A word because she's right next to me, you know. I don't want to say her yet because she'll turn on. But yes, I'll be like, you know, play this and play that. And I'll just dance. And that's something that, yes, I don't do it every single day, but I just, you know, my inner child, you know, just gets so light up because thinking about that one thing when I was a child, for me, I will create dances for every song, right? And I felt for me, that was part of my own healing journey. And I think that sometimes we forget, like you say, the things that we already have been doing, maybe our entire life. And I think that being able to set boundaries is important. And I still do, like, I'm very sacred with my weekends, unless there's an event or something like that. But even during my week, even when I set boundaries, sometimes I look at my schedule and I color code everything, and it still can be overwhelming sometimes. But I'm like, no, where can I implement that one thing for myself? Like you mentioned, even if it's 5 minutes of me dancing my life away, it's really about kind of grounding yourself. And obviously, all of this takes time. So I love that you mentioned that one thing method and your recovery roadmap. I can't wait to hear more about your program in a bit. Yeah. And I know that you've been sharing so many gems about, you know, burnout prevention, but most importantly, really honing in on how to implement those mindfulness best practices, especially when things are in a little bit chaos. Is there anything else that you would also like to share to my lovely listeners?
I love that you have dance parties. I too have dance parties. I was supposed to be on Broadway. They keep forgetting to call me for the show.
Oh my God, no way.
I don't know why they don't have my number. But I definitely do like full-on performances in my house. And that is a part of my mindfulness practice. One thing I do have to say too is I want people to think about the hobbies that they had from when they were a kid. Mm. My theory, and I have a bunch of theories and none of them are based on any research. My theory is that our hobbies are the mindfulness practices that our soul chose for us.
Oh, I love that.
That's good. That's good. Yes. Because if you remember being a kid and you were singing, you were just singing. You weren't thinking about anything. When you were a kid, if you were doing art, if you were a kid and you were outside playing in the dirt, that was all that you were doing. Your hobbies is what your soul chose for your mindfulness practices. So this work is not about looking, and it could be about looking for new things, because sometimes as an adult, the things as a kid that you had are not entertaining anymore. But some of this really is getting back to the things you used to love to do, because there was a reason that your soul chose those for you. So that is another thing that I tell people is put your hobbies back into your life. Put some fun back into your life. I ask people all the time, what do you do for fun? Oh, I don't have fun. What are we doing? Are we saving people and we ain't having no fun? That's crazy.
Oh my God, yes.
It's wild.
No, that's crazy. No, and I love that you say that, because like, I know I keep bringing back to me because I want everyone to also have, like, you know, really envision, right? Something more recent. Like for me, I mentioned, you know, having these dance parties, and even though obviously I'm an extrovert, I'm a fellow Leo, so you would think that I'm like, hey, I'm here, and I am sometimes, But, you know, like I recently started kicking off this year in-person workshops, right? And being able to basically deliver is something that I was just like, oh my God, like this fuels my soul. Because yes, I've done over the last 3 years, many virtual workshops, but it's different. You don't feel people's energy. And obviously I know you've done many presentations and speaking engagements. And that's something that what you just mentioned, it makes total sense. Like I've even been saying, like, I want to join. I always say in another life, I will be a professional dancer, like hip hop, like, you know, touring. Like I always said that when I was younger and look, right. So everything that you're saying is very to the T. Like I'm also getting excited to go find a team to join and obviously not tour around the world. Imagine stay tuned, 2024, Harleni, dance, whatever the shows are.
Right. I think there's something beautiful about acknowledging kind of the child self, you know, the self we had to put down to be productive. So I like to think of mindfulness in that way as liberation work, right? Because this system requires of us that we become hamsters. So us being mindful and getting off that wheel for 5 to 10 minutes a day, that's liberation. That's revolution. Yeah. So when I talk about mindfulness, I don't talk about it as, you know, the lady that you think about coming home from the yoga class. And maybe we're talking to her, but we're not only talking about her, right? We're talking about people reclaiming their time, people reclaiming their nervous system from this system that sees us all as a number, you know? And I think that's one thing we need to remember. Another thing too is when I was trying to figure out, so I left my job in 2018 to run my practice full time. So around 2020, 2021, when I was trying to figure out how do I still make an impact, I was speaking to a friend and she said, instead of thinking from a one-to-one model, think of a one-to-many model. So that's why I shifted into my workshops and trainings, because if I can have an impact on one person for an hour, if I can have an impact on 100 people for that same hour, I get to reclaim the next 7 hours of my day and integrate that as a mindfulness practice. So I also want you all, as social workers, I love us, to be thinking about a way that you can maximize your impact so it doesn't take so much from who you are and from your own health and mental health. That's huge too. Reframing my business really, really helped me to reclaim some of that time for myself. So when I go in, I do mindfulness workshops for organizations and I charge them as much as I should charge, right? So if I work hard for that hour and a half, I'm reclaiming my time so I don't have to do so much of the one-to-one, so much of the grind work. So I want you all to be thinking about that too, because I feel like the social work profession conditions us that we'll be working forever and that's just going to be us for the rest of our life. And like you said in the beginning, people like, this is just the way it is. It doesn't have to be.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, we are changing the game. Yeah. And y'all, you got to protect your energy. You have to be intentional with your time. You have to say no to the things that don't serve you, that don't fill your cup. Like, don't settle for less. Recognize your worth. You know, something that I'm often preaching about, just like you, it's more of like, for so long, we have allowed the social work profession to dictate our path. We are in control. If not, we're going to stay in this realm of overwhelm and unknown and underpaid. It's up to us to change the narrative again for generations to come. We have been killing so many gems. Yes. I would love now you can tell everyone about your amazing program where people can find you, things that you're working on, and no worries, everyone, I will be including all this information in the show notes.
So I do mindfulness workshops for organizations where I talk about mindfulness as a skill to help people overcome burnout. I also do motivational and public speaking. And I just launched my Mindful Burnout Recovery Coaching Program. It's a six-month program. It's one-to-one. And we use my Mindfulness Burnout Recovery Roadmap, which is a 9-step program to overcome burnout. And I put in it all the things I learned from my own burnout. There is some DBT in there because I am trained in DBT and I love DBT. There's also elements of mindfulness in there. And it really is a comprehensive deep dive into overcoming burnout. So I just launched that one-to-one coaching program And I am excited to talk about mindfulness and burnout. And I'm excited to talk about mental health too. And I want social workers to understand we have an expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everybody thinks they are mental health experts nowadays. I be scrolling on the social medias and I be like, look at all these experts with no training and no education.
Oh
wow.
My God, yeah. They want to be a spokesperson.
Right. We have an expertise and I need for us to carry ourselves and act that way. We are never going to command the kind of respect that we deserve unless we understand that we have an expertise in this field. I had to say
Preach.
That.
Oh my God, yes.
The name of my website is knowledgeofself.com. I don't know if everybody noticed, knowledge is my name spelled backwards. So knowledgeofself.com. There is a link also to my TED Talk. I did a TED Talk in LA about 2 years ago. I'm at 20,000 views. So if you all can go take a look at it. From what I understand, some universities have been using it in their coursework. High schools have been using it. People are using it for educational resources for their jobs. So go check that out. And yeah, I am available for just speaking about this topic. I'm so passionate about it because I love us, but we've been conditioned to believe that making a little bit of money and working a lot is our destiny. And I want to challenge that as a social worker. I want to challenge that for all of us, because if we are going to help heal other people, we deserve healing and calm and peace and mindfulness for ourselves.
Preach. Oh my God. Absolutely. Y'all, listen, at the end of the day, you get to create the success you desire in the social work profession. And as you all know, I'm always helping my fellow social workers, whether you're students, whether you're seasoned social workers, really utilize your skills, build a personal brand, market yourself effectively, and basically get hired in any area of practice, including non-traditional roles. Thank you so much, Alon, for sharing so many gems. Everyone, if you're currently interested in learning more about her services and booking her for your next speaking engagement, make sure to check out the links in the show notes. And until next time. Thank you for tuning in on the latest episode of the Social Work Insider. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave me a review on the platform that you're listening from and follow me on TikTok and Instagram at Your Evolved Mind and LinkedIn at Harleni Vasquez for more motivation on how-to content to help you level up within your social work career. Until next time.